from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news. So stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Vice President Maruf Amin inaugurates the launch of Master Plan to Accelerate Papua Development. Indonesian Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries calls Indonesia the second largest ornamental fish exporters in the world. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Vice President Maruf Amin inaugurated the launch of the Papua Development Acceleration Master Plan, or RIPPP, and the Papua Development Acceleration Information System, or SIP, in Sorong, Southwest Papua on Friday. Quoted by Antara, he stated that the launch of the RIPP and SIP is an important momentum that can be part of the history of Papua's development journey and also a determinant for Papua's progress in the future. Vice President Maruf Amin claimed that development in Papua has become the government's top priority. He also viewed that based on the mandate of the law, the plan is important as a legal umbrella and guideline in the process of planning, budgeting, implementation up to evaluation and control of the acceleration of development in Papua. RIPPP 2022-2041 carries the vision of realizing an independent, just and prosperous Papua, with three main missions, namely Healthy Papua, Smart Papua, and Productive Papua. Indonesia is currently the second largest ornamental fish exporters in the world after Japan. This was conveyed by Director General of Strengthening the Competitiveness of Marine and Fishery Products of the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Budi Sulistyo, at the Bincang Bahari event held by the KKP in Jakarta on Thursday. He also said that the export value of ornamental fish in 2023 reached $39 million, growing by 7.2% compared to the previous year. In that year, Indonesia had an ornamental fish market share of 11.1%, while Japan, which was in the first position, had a market share of 13.9%.
Ikan hias Indonesia saat ini, ya, sebagai negara eksporter itu
Indonesia's ornamental fish currently as an exporting country ranks second in the world after Japan, so this is an achievement. Maybe 3 to 4 years ago, we were still in the top 5, then consistently rose, and last year we reached number 2.
Naik tahun ini, tahun kemarin kita sudah mencapai nomor 2.
Budi added, in the world ornamental fish market, the ministry recorded an economic value of $350.5 million in 2022, with an average growth of 2.63%. With this market opportunity, he hopes that Indonesia will be able to move up to the number one global ornamental fish exporter through the establishment of fisheries governance so that the sustainability of ornamental fish can be maintained. In addition, the ministry encouraged ornamental fish to become the main commodity that can be exported through the establishment of standards such as SNE. One of them is by holding the Nusatik 2024 Ornamental Fish Exhibition, which was held in Tangerang Regency, Banten from Friday to Sunday as a promotional event for Indonesian ornamental fish. Indonesia condemned the invasion of the Al-Aqsa Mosque in East Jerusalem by hundreds of Israeli settlers on Wednesday. This was the statement of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in its post of social media X on Thursday. The ministry stated that Indonesia believes that the action is provocative and hurts the feelings of Muslims around the world. It calls for a stop to the violations and violence committed by Israel, including in the Gaza Strip. Previously quoted by Middle East Eye, about 800 Israelis stormed the mosque on Wednesday morning. According to Palestinian news agency Wafa, they entered through the Moroccan gate on the south side of Jerusalem Old City. They made a provocative tour of the compound with Israeli rabbis and politicians. The invasions occurred during a flag march to celebrate Jerusalem Day, which celebrates Israel's annexations of East Jerusalem in the Six-Day War in 1967. The war ended with Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories, including East Jerusalem. The Indonesian pencaksilat team won as many as 5 gold medals at the 13 ASEAN School Games or ASG 2024 Championship in Da Nang, Vietnam, after all numbers were completed on Thursday. Reported by Antara, on last day of the match, the Indonesian pencaksilat team competed in 9 numbers, 5 of which resulted in gold medals. Indonesian Pencaksilat Deputy Manager for ASG 2024, Sinta Berliana Heru, on the official website of the Minister of Youth and Sports, or Kemenpora, in Jakarta on Friday, said that this achievement exceeded the target and was extraordinary. She also said that success in surpassing the medal target was supported by good and intensive communication between athletes and coaches and the team as a whole. Sinta added that their struggle was quite maximum because since the beginning of the championship, they work hard and focus on winning the match when meeting opponents. Furthermore, she said their participation in the event was not only pursuing achievement, but also adding to their competition flying hours at the world level. The Indonesian men's basketball team entered the final round of the 2024 ASEAN School Games ASG after defeating Singapore with a score 64-55 in the semi-final match at the University of Da Nang, Vietnam. On the Ministry of Youth and Sport website on Thursday, it was stated the students' athletes will face the Philippines in the top party Friday. Indonesian men's basketball team coach Rifki Antalion hopes that the players can be more motivated to break the record of previous defeats, such as in the Group A preliminary phase at the ASG this year and in the final match of ASG in 2019 last year. Thereby, the gold medal can belong to Indonesia. Let's move on to the international news, where the number of people displaced by the conflict in Sudan will reach 10 million in the next few days, according to the UN's International Organization for Migration, IOM, on Thursday, quoted by Sputnik. The organization said in a statement that the internal refugee crisis, which the organization called the worst in the world, will continue to increase as the threat of famine and disease adds to the chaos triggered by the conflict. According to the organization, around 9.9 million people are now displaced from their homes in 18 regions of Sudan. More than half are women and more than a quarter are children under 5. In total, about 12 million people have been forced from their homes in Sudan, and more than 2 million of them cross into other countries, especially Chad, South Sudan, and Egypt. On April 15, 2023, fighting erupted between the Sudanese army and a paramilitary group called the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF. They have made several temporary ceasefire, but until now, the conflict in the country has not subsided. At least 39 Palestinian refugees were killed by an Israeli airstrike on a school that houses thousands of refugees in the Nusayrat refugee camp in the central Gaza Strip. Reported by Anadolu, the Gaza government media authority stated on Thursday that the attack by Israeli forces on the school owned by the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, also caused dozens of other residents injured. The authority stated Israel's relentless massacre in the Gaza Strip further proves that Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital officials also confirmed the number of victims. The number of victims is likely to increase because there are still other victims who have not been evacuated to the hospital. Meanwhile, the Israeli military admitted that it launched the attack. They claimed that the attack was directed at Hamas fighters hiding in the school. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on Russia, China, and Iran support joint comprehensive nuclear deal. Russia, China, and Iran, in a recent joint statement, expressed their support for the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA, an agreement regarding Iran's nuclear program, and believe that its provisions remain in effect. In the joint statement, the three of them reiterated their support for this nuclear agreement. Russia, China, and Iran's support for the JCPOA has not changed since 2018, when the U.S. illegally and unilaterally withdrew from the nuclear agreement. The statement was issued after France, Britain, and Germany at the International Atomic Energy Agency IAEA Board of Governors meeting last Wednesday, June the 5th, pushed the passing of a resolution to put pressure on Iran regarding the country's nuclear issue. Among the 35 members of the IAEA Governing Council, Russia, China, and Iran believe that it is time for Western countries to show political will, refrain from the endless cycle of escalation, and take the necessary steps to restore the JCPOA. The three countries said they had made every effort to restore the nuclear agreement. They regret that Western countries that are members of the agreement have chosen a different approach outside it. Russia, China, and Iran believe that the provisions of JCPOA still apply. Full implementation of the nuclear agreement now could remove most questions regarding Tehran's peaceful nuclear program. They also believe that with the provisions of JCPOA still in effect, the International Atomic Energy Agency IAEA Secretariat will have broader monitoring instruments. Additionally, a fully implemented nuclear deal would serve as an instrument to limit and reduce tensions. In many cases, the facts prove that deliberately created confrontation and pressure, such as in the issue of Iran's nuclear program, cannot solve the problem. It can actually damage cooperative relationships, even making the situation more complicated. For this reason, all parties involved in the agreement on Iran's nuclear program should refrain from creating new tensions, especially in the current unstable world conditions, including as a result of the Russia-Ukraine war and Israel's attack on the Gaza Strip. That was commentary today.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll begin today in history with June 7, 1905, when Norwegian Parliament breaks monarchical union with Sweden. From 1814 to 1905, Sweden and Norway joined the same monarchy, although the two countries were separated. On June 7, 1905, the Norwegian Parliament, the Storting, agreed to unilaterally sever ties between the Norwegian monarchy and Sweden following a constitutional crisis. This decision was confirmed by a plebiscite on August 13, 1905, in which 99% of Norwegian voters wanted to sever monarchical ties with Sweden. Let's move on to June 7, 1999, when Indonesia's first election after the New Orders Accord. On June 7, 1999, Indonesia held legislative general elections during the administration of President B.J. Habibie. This election was the first in the Reformation era after the collapse of the New Order led by President Suharto in 1988. In contrast to the New Order election, which was only participated by two political parties and one organization, the 1999 election was participated by 48 political parties competing for seats in the People's Consultative Assembly, the House of Representatives and Regional Representatives throughout Indonesia. This election was won by PDI Perjuangan with 33.7% of the vote. Meanwhile, Golkar, a mass organization-turning political party that previously always won during the New Order era, was in second place with 22.4% of the vote. I'll end today in history with June 7, 2019, when the World Food Safety Day first celebrated. On December 20, 2018, the United Nations General Assembly passed a resolution designating June 7 as a day celebrating the myriad benefits of safe food. In 2019, the UN celebrated World Food Safety Day for the first time. World Food Safety Day aims to raise awareness of the importance of food safety and is jointly facilitated by two UN agencies, the World Health Organization WHO and the Food and Agriculture Organization FAO. This year, the theme of World Food Safety Day is Food Safety, Preparing for the Unexpected, which emphasizes the importance of being prepared to face food safety incidents.
Whoa!
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on government prepares biofuel production land to quicken energy transition. Minister of Agrarian Affairs and Spatial Planning or Head of National Land Agency Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono said that his side is preparing land for biofuel production in a bid to help accelerate energy transition in the country. That was stated by the minister after joining the 100,000 tree plantation in Bekasi Regency, West Java on Wednesday. According to Minister Agus Harimurti, the government has coordinated with the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Investment and other institutions. So there would be plantation land for bioethanol production. For instance, he added, Indonesia needs sugar cane, corn, and other plantations, as well as other varieties. Minister Agus admitted that the collaboration is necessary so that the greenhouse gas emission reduction target as written in the Enhanced Nationally Determined Contribution or ENDC becoming 32% or 912 million ton CO2 equivalent by 2030 can be realized. Minister Agus said that his side is revising the government regulation number 21/2021 year on management, land rights, flat units, and land registration with other ministries that regulate the cultivation rights for carbon trade. The regulation revision will accommodate the issuance of cultivation rights for land of environmental services such as mangrove area, including the carbon capture, carbon storage material in the underground right licensing in the presidential regulation draft for above ground and underground spaces. Besides, according to Minister Agus, the commitment to accommodate the grant of rights is only for environmental services. That is in line with the joint commitment to achieve net zero emissions and a real move to reduce the impact of climate change. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Hai, apa kabar kau di sana? Sudah bertahun tak bertemu. Ku tak perlu bicara, hanya ingin dengar suaramu. Aku rindu. Hey, aku baik-baik saja. Lama tak ku dengar darimu. Aku lelah menunggu, hanya ingin melihat wajahmu. Aku rindu. Mungkin dunia mencoba pisahkan kita, tapi ada cara agar kita bersama. Tapi ku perlu tahu, apakah benar-benar cinta padaku? Kan ku beri seluruh nafasku. Apakah benar-benar mengerti aku? Hanya kau yang mengenal aku. Tiada yang cerita.
Lahirlah sebuah cerita.
Perjalanan kita berdua
menyatu sampai selamanya.
Yang kan ku kenang selamanya, mengulang setiap kata-kata yang kau ucap. tahu apa kau benar-benar cinta padaku.
Kan ku beri seluruh nafasku.
Apa kau benar-benar mengerti aku?
Hanya kau yang mengenalku.
Ku tahu sedari dulu perlahan-lahan waktu akan terus berlalu, walau ku takkan mampu untuk menunggu, merindu sesuatu yang tak tentu. Apakah kita bisa kembali bersama? Tapi ku perlu tahu, apakah benar-benar cinta padaku?
Kan ku beri seluruh nafasku.
Apakah benar-benar mengerti aku?
Hanya kau yang mengenal aku.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Cinta
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. If you travel to Ternate, you have to try a dish namely pali pali. It has a long round shape packed with woven palm leaves. Pali pali was originally intended for the Sultan. That's why the taste is definitely delicious and luxurious. It is said that the food became one of the favorite menus of the Sultan in Ternate. In fact, it is said that this food is usually only made for sultanate events. Pali pali is made from rice that is put into a woven palm leaf package. Pali pali is made without coconut milk. It takes about 1.5 hours to make pali pali. The duration is related to the process of steaming the raw pali pali until it is formed and cooked. In terms of taste, the food has a unique flavor. The flavor comes from the palm leaves that wrap it. The flavor is more or less similar to ketupat rice cake, which is the main food during Eid. Pali pali eaten directly already tastes delicious, let alone enjoy with food such as gohu ikan or other Ternate specialties. Listener, for the people of Ternate, pali-pali is a sacred food. In fact, not everyone is eligible to make pali-pali. The presence of pali-pali is only awaited when there are special sultanate events. Not only that, to make pali-pali, one must get the blessing of the sultanate family, which usually applies for generations. Although it looks simple, pali-pali is actually very special because it is considered the food of the sultan. No wonder the people of Ternate continue to preserve the dish. Well, listener, that was The Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, today's Miscellany informs you about the biggest oriental decorative fish expo and show in Indonesia. Nusatik and Nusape 2024 will be held at ICE BSD Exhibition, Serpong, South Tangerang on June 7 to the 9, 2024. Nusatik and Nusape aim to grow the interest in preserving the decorative and pet fishes diversity, expanding organized promotion in domestic and international market, and improving Indonesia's competitiveness value as a top decorative fish producing country in the world. Nusatik or Nusantara Aquatic has been successful in 2016 until 2023 as the world's biggest decorative fish and aquatic plants by showcasing more than 16,000 fishes. Meanwhile, Nusapet or Nusantara Pet debuts this year and is expected to continue and attract a wider group of people. The head organizing committee of Nusatik 2024, Johan Ciptadi, said, "Since 2016, the expo has been introducing the Indonesian decorative fish market to international level more openly, so that Nusatik is visited by more than 11,000 visitors and 76 tenants." Listener, from year to year, people's enthusiasm to join the expo is increasing. Seen from the consistently increasing visit up to 20,000 visitors and 140 tenants in 2023. This year, they are expecting 35,000 to 40,000 visitors in 3 days. Director General of Marine and Fishery Products Competitiveness Value at the Indonesian Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry, Budi Sulistio, said, "Indonesia ranks second as the world's decorative fish exporter." He affirmed that Indonesia must be able to defeat Japan in the global decorative fish market. Well, listener, that's Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cari tahu tentangmu, tanggal dan tahun lahirmu. Ku pelajari rasi bintang, menebak pribadimu, toko kartun favoritmu, dan warna kegemaranmu. Ku telusuri di titik mana kita akan bertemu. Bius aku dengan tatapanmu, tatapanmu. Menyiksaku tapi sungguh candu Lika-liku labirinmu, takkan urungkan niatku. Betapa ku yakin kita berdua bisa menyatu. Jebak aku dalam labirinmu. Satu dia di warnamu, pesonamu. Jebak aku dalam labirinmu. Tersesatku dia di warnamu, pesonamu. Pelajari rasi bintang, menebak pribadimu. Bius aku dengan tatapanmu, tatapanmu. Menyisaku tapi sungguh candu. Jebak aku dalam tapi aku yakin kita berdua bisa menyatu.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia, only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's editions of Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Yogyakarta, entitled Anak Lanang. Anak Lanang was written by Daru Jaya and Hendra Kumbara. The song is sung by Ndarboy Gang. The song Anak Lanang narrates a man who remembers his difficult childhood life that often burdened his parents. As an adult, the man has been able to work and hopes to raise the status of his family. Here is Anak Lanang, sung by Ndarboy Gang. Enjoy listening to the song.
Bapak kerja yen mung ana proyek. Biyen durung kramikan arep turu adem kanginan, penting saben dina bisa mangan. Saiki aku wis gedhe, iso golek duit dhewe. Najan bien mong iso nyusake pak epue ngapurane, saiki aku wis kerja senajan urip pura koso, ikhlas peti kanggo keluarga. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Selalu bisa temani diriku sampai akhir hayat. biarkan aku hingga ujung waktu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jalan yang jauh, jangan lupa pulang. Pesan-pesan yang selalu saja terngiang. Terbang jauh kepak tak berbilang, lewati awan dan angkasa tak berbayang. Cari mencari untuk mengisi langkung hampa yang ingin terobati. Teruslah jalan, terus berjalan, kaki mungilku yang terus menahan beban. Berjalan, sebentar lagi ku akan sampai tujuan. Jalan yang jauh.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.